So we're checking in with Sarah Morrison of Quincy After School Child Care to get a little update on how they are coping during these challenging times. Hi, Sarah. Nice to see you.
Good to see you too, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. We know that one of the big challenges of this pandemic is parents trying to find a child care for their children so they can work, either work from home or, you know, go back to work. So that's where Quincy After School Child Care, I'm sure, is playing a vital role. How are you managing?
Well, we're doing well so far. You know, it's been a challenging roller coaster for us. We just keep adjusting as things come, but we are fully operational right now at 5 locations. We normally would be at 9 locations during a school year. But as students are not really back to school, many of them, we just don't have the program interest right now to sustain all 9 of those programs, unfortunately. We ran programs throughout the summer months at the Southwest Middle School. That was sort of our first jump back into reality, or a post-COVID reality, I guess, was our summer programming. And we were thrilled that that program ran safely and very successfully from July until the end of August. So we were ready to jump into the school year. And that's where we are today.
When were you actually able to get back up and running?
We started in on July 6th, so right after the holiday. So the governor had many extensions to close childcare. So childcares were closed, licensed facilities were closed in Massachusetts until June 29th. And just in mid-June, they finally released new regulations for us that we were able to quickly adapt to and submit plans for reopening. So that's what we did. So we submitted a reopening plan at the very end of June. And as of July 3rd, we finally got approval of that plan and opened up right after the holiday on the 6th. So it was a lot of work to get there. And we had a lot of support, thankfully, from Quincy Public Schools to get operational. They recognized that there were many families who relied on programming in the summertime for their ability to get back to work, especially families that worked outside of the home and didn't have other care options. So it was really important for us to get back. And from a standpoint of normalcy for our students and for the mental health of our children, getting back was so important to us and something that we were really committed to. So we ran our summer programs from July 6th until the very end of August. And then, you know, administratively, our focus throughout the whole summer here back at the office was how do we get school year operational again? Because it's all new. It's a new world for us. So right now we are operating full day care. So we are doing remote learning support for families. So children who don't attend school, as you might realize, and many people do now, there's this hybrid model to make sure that the school day can be as spread out as it needs to be for regulations. So opposite of children attending school, we are providing remote learning support. We're also providing kindergarten extension support. So kindergartners, the city of Quincy, Quincy Public Schools recognized that kindergartners needed to be in school as much as possible. And so in order to do that, and I really, as a mom of a kindergartner, I really appreciate that. The kindergartners are doing 4 half days a week. And so the fact that they went to half day when many parents were planning on a full day model, we needed to try to find a way to support those families. So we're doing kindergarten extensions. So the children who attend, for example, until 10:45, we get them from class and they're with us until the end of the school day to match their sibling, or they can opt to do after school as well. So we're trying to be everything to as many people that need our services as possible.
So where are you operating and where are you not operating right now?
Good question. So we have, I'm not going to say what we typically do. Right now, we're not able to operate programming at Montclair, Parker, or our Wollaston locations. Those schools, we just did not have the interest that we would have hoped and really couldn't get them staffed to the ratios that we needed to get them staffed. Our programs, as you might remember, are nonprofit programs. And so the idea of being able to self-support is really important for each program, or at least universally, that our entirety of our program can help support the staffing we need. So the programs where we are offering care right now are Atherton Howe, Beechwood Knoll, Bernazani, Lincoln Hancock, and Marymount. We actually, today is the last day we're offering care at the Squantum School. Our Squantum program, unfortunately, we've been using the gymnasiums at all of our locations. And just the way that cards fell at Squantum School, a lot of those families are getting back to school, which is great. Now that kids have gone back, the fourth and fifth graders at that school. But the school itself is cramped and they need extra space. And so they've had to take back the gym, which obviously it's a school building and the first priority of that building is to serve the educational needs of the students. So the great news though, is that Quincy Public Schools recognized that parents still need our services. And so we have, we're busing, starting next week, we'll be busing children, the kindergartners and midday, and then after school participants at the end of the day, to our location at Marymount.
Oh, okay. So you will be able to accommodate them and provide
education too. Yeah. Maybe not the most ideal, but we're still able to serve any family that was enrolled that needs the care. So yeah. We're very thankful and appreciative of that.
Will you transport them back to Squantum also?
No, parents will just pick up over at Marymount, which is nice. It's not that far of a drive. For most families, it's the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It will be the end of the school day, so they'll get stuck in that Marymount traffic. But we are delaying pickup at the end of a school day by a half an hour just to help ease that traffic flow.
Okay. And are you able to have your programs at full capacity, Sarah?
No, that's part of the we don't have them at capacity because of interest, but we also, due to COVID, new restrictions and new regulations, our capacity has changed a bit. Although our capacity is a bit less restrictive than school day, for whatever reason, the Department of Early Education and Care, which is under the same umbrella in government as the Department of Education and Secondary Education, DESE, the regulations for both are they in some ways they mirror each other, and then in other ways they diverge. So we're able to serve children with a minimum of 42 square feet per child, which is a square footage increase from our previous regulations. So in the same space where we maybe used to serve 50 children, we're now able to serve about 38 children. And then also our staffing, we've increased our staffing a bit, and the way that we staff is different because we don't substitute staff members between locations. We're keeping a very consistent staff for safety, and obviously that leads to a little bit of a requirement to overstaff. So at the same time that our enrollment has dropped, our staffing level has increased a bit, so it's been a challenge.
Yeah. And speaking of the staff, has it been a challenge to find staff to oversee these programs?
You know, it kind of always is for out of school time, Joe, but this year in particular. So all of my statewide groups that I'm part of, Quincy is not unique. What we're experiencing here is not unique, but yeah, staffing has been a challenge. One of the bigger challenges is that out of our staff members, I think we had 64 staff members in March, and out of those 64, 38 of those people did not return to us.
Wow.
Which is staggering, right? Mm-hmm. So that was one humongous challenge for us to overcome. And a lot of those, some of those people might not have come back because there's still fear or because of their age, but so many of them have moved on to full-time opportunities working with youth because those are more abundant now. There's a lot of support roles within public schools that have that were announced. So a lot of those staff members that were working with us part-time last year have moved on to full-time experiences, which are wonderful for them, but a challenge for us.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we have been able to get our staff up to the levels we need them to be at now. We're very settled right now, which is a good thing. And we have been able to recruit some new wonderful talent to our organization. So I'm happy about that. It's a weird environment to be employing people at this point, but you know, it's, and there's risk associated with the job. And I just have to say that I have an absolutely incredible team of really dedicated and passionate caregivers. And so I'm so excited for the team that we have now, even with all of the transition that we've had over this last 7 to 8 months.
Yeah. So what are kind of the safety protocols that you have to adhere to both for your staff and for the students?
So our participants, you know, we're obviously trying to maintain the social distancing whenever possible. Our staff and students are all masked throughout the day. We do take some mask breaks outdoors. When we're eating, we're eating outdoors as much as possible. Any snacks or lunches, we're trying to do picnic style. It's just really outdoor space is the safest space right now. So we're utilizing the outdoor spaces as much as possible. When remote learners are learning, they're separated by at least 6 feet. In some cases, it's much greater than that because we don't have huge numbers in the gymnasium. So, or maybe a class, like at the, our Bertazzotti program, for example, we're in a classroom. So, we have a very rigid cleaning schedule. So the Department of Early Education and Care, as part of our reopening plan, we had to identify a cleaning schedule. So every 2 hours, we have a schedule where we're rotating, and I can see over my shoulder supplies, but we have a lot of supplies to clean. We are doing, even here in our main office, we're doing cleaning every few hours on a schedule, all hotspot areas, doorknobs, doors where children were touched, tables, chairs, the backs of chairs, any high touch surface, we call them hotspots. So we do hotspot cleaning throughout the day. And then we also sanitize toys. So my team has gotten very smart. They, just one example, they ordered waterproof playing cards and waterproof Uno, for example. Who knew it existed, but right. They're able to disinfect that after use. And we always have done a ton of hand washing. The Department of Early Education and Care are huge advocates of it and always have been. So it's thankful we haven't had to do that much adjusting. However, at one point in our summer program, I think the record was 18 times during the day that children washed their hands. So that is a huge amount of hand washing, but better safe than sorry. And it's not that difficult to do.
Sure.
So, when hand washing isn't available, we're using hand sanitizer, but if hand washing is always best. So, and then just reiterating to kids, you know, maintain distance and keep your mask up. And, but for the most part, the kids are much more resilient than adults. They're compliant for the most part. They just want to be back playing as kids. And for the most part, they don't even notice. Even in the hot summer months, they weren't really complaining that much. They were just thankful to be back together. So yeah, we're doing a lot. There's probably things I'm forgetting that we're doing, but we're doing a lot to make sure they're safe.
Has it worked? You know, have you had any issues at all?
We have not. We knock on wood. You know, I know it's coming. I know that we will have a case. We've had some staff members that have, you know, had some sniffles and stayed out. Well, we have a daily attestation. So every day as children come into our program, one of the things that they do is their parent fills out an attestation form, which has all of the symptoms that you would expect with COVID, a checklist to make sure that in the past 24 hours, nobody, none of them or none of their family members that live in the household have shown any of these symptoms. So really the parents have been so responsible about keeping their students out. So if there's, you know, sniffles or a cough or any fever over 100, our staff and the children stay home. So it creates a little more of a staffing challenge, of course, as that comes up because we are in cold season. Allergy season just happened for a lot of people. But they, you know, they'll work with their doctor to either get a test and test for COVID or get a note to return to work. So, but for the most part, you know, we've been very fortunate. I know that, you know, this virus does not discriminate. It'll hit somebody at some point within our organization and, you know, hopefully doesn't do any actual harm and moves on its merry way or is an asymptomatic case. But, we've been very fortunate. So there were no cases this summer, and No cases yet this school year.
That's good news, I'm sure. And,
yeah, it's a relief. We're working really closely, beyond Quincy Public Schools and their partnership with us, which has just been really strong and supportive. We've been working together since June to really work through all of our issues and meet on a very regular basis now. But we're also meeting very often with Ruth Jones. And you know, Ruth, that she is just such an amazing resource for this community. And we're so thankful to have her and her support. My colleagues in the field in other communities don't have what we have here in Quincy, and we are just really lucky.
Yeah. How many actual students are in the program right now, Sarah, in total?
In total, we, across our five sites, I believe our number today is 154. Okay. We do have more capacity. So if there are parents, families out there that need care, we're ready and willing to accept students. Another thing that we've done is we recognize that Quincy Public School educators, in order to get back to work and make their lives work, they needed a place for their students as well. So we are with approval from Ruth Jones and from Quincy Public School Administration, we are serving some faculty children within our programs. So we place them kind of where it makes the most sense for them, whether this the parents at that school or it's closest to their work location. So that's another group that we're serving. But right now we are serving any public schools, Quincy Public School student that we can, especially at those locations where we have care.
Okay. And, you know, for folks who might not be aware, what's the age range and how do folks sign up?
Sure. We serve kindergarten all the way through age 13. If the child has diagnosed special needs and a plan, we might serve them older than 13 years old. They can call our main office or visit our website. Our website has a very easy registration form right on there. It has all of our pricing structure. We do charge tuition. However, we also have scholarship funding available right now. So it's really important that people know that. If your family has a child care voucher, we can accept them. We accept state vouchers as well. So we have the scholarship funding available through the Community Development Block Grant, so the CDBG program, which is administered by the city, those federal dollars. So we have scholarships available, we take vouchers, and we do charge private tuition. And all of that information can be found on our website, quincyafterschool.org, or you could call our main office, which is 617-773-3299.
Okay, and you are a registered nonprofit, so I know donations are helpful and
yeah.
Probably more so.
Yeah, yes. Yes. We are, one of the unfortunate things, Joe, is, well, I guess here's the fortunate thing. We have been really well managed for the last several years. We have a really strong board of directors. We've done some fundraising over these last couple of years. And so we have some rainy day funds, and it couldn't be a bigger rainy day for us all than it is right now. But we are not self-sustaining at this point as an organization. So of course, donations through our website, quincyafterschool.org, are more than welcome and appreciated. And if your employer matches those, we'll do anything to help you fill out those forms you need. We are a 501c3 registered nonprofit and have been for the 33 years that we've been in existence. We really, beyond clients, beyond serving students, we really, we're looking for any supports that we can get to help get us back on our feet and back on track, because we do have these rainy day funds. At the same time, we were looking to those for our future. And the idea was that we are looking to hopefully build in Quincy, to build a center for our services and programming for youth in the city of Quincy. So we'd like to get back on track with that too.
Yeah, well, the reason I bring it up is I know you usually have a big fundraiser in the fall. Probably couldn't do that this year, right?
Yeah, so we've done it actually in the spring the past couple of years. Our annual carnival gala got, the 2020 gala has been postponed. We actually are working on an idea right now for our 21 gala. And We're meeting at the end of the month with the fundraising committee, and we'll see if the idea flies. If it does, I'll get in touch with you because it's going to be a fun one. We as an organization really pride ourselves on our ability to have fun, so and bring fun to our community, not just to the children, but through our community events as well. So we're really hopeful that we can do that in May of 21.
Okay, well, something to look forward to. We all need something to look forward to next year for sure.
Yeah, I know, right? That's we're planning ahead as though we can't do our traditional gala, but we have kind of an exciting and I think maybe a little unique idea. I'll promise you this, it will not be virtual.
Okay. Speaking of virtual, did you do any, virtual daycare at all? I mean, were you able to utilize that type of technology?
We didn't. Unfortunately, we had hoped to keep our staff on for as long as we possibly could when this hit. And it was confusing at that time. If you go back to March, we didn't know that school would be closed for the entire school year. We didn't know that EEC licensed programs would be closed until the end of June. And so as those announcements came out and as federal funding was provided through the CARES Act for employees on furlough, we ended up furloughing 95% of our employees. Wow. And at that point, we didn't, we were ready to transition to provide some sort of virtual support because the biggest thing that was the biggest challenge that we had at that point was the relationships that we had with these children that just got severed. And that for both of our staff and for our students, our participants, that really impacted their mental health, to have those relationships be severed suddenly. And most of the students, their access to our staff are through our program. It's not like they have their phone numbers or the parents even have their information. So that was a big challenge for everybody involved at that point, but we did what we had to do to sort of stay as afloat as we could at that point.
Yeah, I know in many cases, it's almost like a second to parent-child relationship,
It is.
Yeah.
We really focus on, the child has to be in the middle of the relationship, of course, but we like to pride ourselves on the fact that we're an extension of both the school day and the family for the child. We in a typical year we would be spending time doing homework with the child each afternoon, and then providing a lot of enrichment activities, many of them educational, but also a lot of them physical, emotional, social, emotional, and providing that type of support. And we were a point of contact for families. We were communicating with them often, and providing as many surrounding services as we could. We helped in every year. In the last at least 10 years, we've helped dozens of families at Christmas time with gifts, provided community events like trunk or treating, and parents' nights out where we would provide care after hours so parents could have some alone time,
right.
And feel confident and with the caregivers that they were having with their children, and also there was affordability there for them as opposed to private childcare. So those things were really lacking, and still we're missing out because we're just in a new world. We're trying to think of creative ideas now that we feel a bit settled in this school year, that we can ways that we might be able to help support families in a safe way. But there's been a lot of adjustment and a lot of loss, but we're back. We're back, and we want people to know that we're here for you as a community agency. If you need any supports, call us. We'll do whatever we can to serve you in any way that we can.
All right. Anything else we should touch on right now, Sarah?
I don't know, Joe. Just be well. Hang in there, everyone. Take care of yourselves, and make sure that the kids that you have in your life know how okay this all is, how loved they are, and that everything's going to be okay. Kids need a lot of our patience right now.
Quincy, afterschoolchildcare.org, I think is the website, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Phone number again is
617-773-3299.
So good to see you, Sarah.
Great to see you too, Joe.
Really appreciate your time, and hopefully we can do it in person next time.
Same. Yes. I long for that day. Be well.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.